Okay, we come to chapter 4, Relational Parenting, Part 1, Fostering Your Child's Relationship to God. All right, moving on now to Part 2 of your book, we have three chapters under the rubric Relational Parenting. We might think, of course, parenting is relational. Why do you stress the relational aspect of parenting?
Yes, we are stressing the aspect of relational parenting because we think it's central to parenting, and it's sometimes easy to forget, especially when the children are younger.
Yeah, you know, I think many dads especially tend to approach parenting more like a task needing to be accomplished. And as we said at the beginning, the promise that parenting is not just a task, it's a relationship.
Yes, and relationships take time. They're complicated, it's costly, it takes sacrifice. We need to separate out time to spend with our children and to encourage them in their relationship with God.
In chapter 4, you begin by urging parents to foster their child's relationship with God. Talk to us about this and why it is so vital and fundamental.
Yeah, you know, this is a chapter that maybe didn't come as easy for us to write, but we deliberately put this first, talking about relational parenting, because we believe it makes all the difference. Only if a child trusts Christ will he or she be able to glorify God, as we mentioned at the beginning, which is the ultimate goal of parenting, to raise children who will glorify God with their lives. And but only if they trust Christ will they really be able to do that, to glorify Him, to enjoy Him forever, which of course is their destiny for all of eternity. So all their relationships with others, including with their parents, will spring from that central relationship with God, and will issue from a transformed and renewed heart.
Yeah, and until they accept the Lord as their Savior, parenting is different. There's enormous difference between parenting an unregenerate child and parenting a child who has trusted Christ. And so it's important to realize those differences. Mm-hmm. But once a child has become a believer, or if they are a believer, the Holy Spirit will become a powerful ally in his or her character formation and growth and spiritual transformation. So as parents, we need to make every effort to introduce our children to Christ at an early age, and we can be God's instruments then in leading our children to Christ. And then once they've become a Christian, they can depend on the Holy Spirit's leading. You know, we can't force any of this by any means. God is at work in our children's lives, but just to be the Lord's ally.
Uh-huh.
So the great commission that we've been given as parents is to disciple our children by His grace.
What would a simple gospel conversation with your child look like?
Well, that's a great topic, and you know, sometimes neglected. So it's been my wonderful privilege to lead several of our children to the Lord, and even to baptize them. And you know, as a parent, as a father, there are at least three concerns I have, three things that I want my child to understand about himself and about the Lord Jesus Christ. First, does he or she understand that? You know, that they're sinners. So I would want to talk to my child about the fact that when he finds himself wanting to disobey me, the reason ultimately is his sinful nature. I would want to explain to him as well that there's really no way that he can overcome, you know, his sinful nature and his own strength. He needs a Savior. He needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, does he understand what Jesus did for him on the cross? Might call that, you know, kind of a crucicentric parenting. No one can become a Christian without sensing a need for a Savior and grasping that at the cross Jesus died the death that that he deserved, that the child deserved, as a punishment for his sins. So explain that Jesus took our sin upon himself and paid it in full by dying in our place. That's the core of a gospel message, and we need to take every opportunity to explain the gospel patiently, and most likely we'll need to do that repeatedly to our children and pray that God will open their minds and help them understand, because this is a spiritual truth. Especially when they're little, when they're still very young, you know, we need to be patient with them. And as Margaret was saying, we really can't force that. We need to look to the Lord to be at work. And third, does my child understand what he needs to do to become a Christian? Essentially, he needs to put his trust in Christ and what he's done for him, nothing that he needs to do himself, just understand what Christ has already done for him. I think this can be an extremely liberating you know, insight and realization, to accept that Christ has forgiven him, has borne all his guilt, his shame. He's free to love and to serve. He can draw on God's grace, and then, you know, upon receiving Christ, the Holy Spirit now lives in him and is ready to enable him to rise above his sinful desires to please the Lord. So I've had the joy of explaining that to several of my children, and by God's grace, they have been able to understand and chosen to put their trust in Christ.
You also talk about the importance of asking questions and seizing teachable moments. Tell us about that.
Yes, Margaret is great. Let me tell you, she's great about asking our children lots of questions all the time. She does that because she cares. This is not just some sort of a technique she uses. I mean, she very naturally cares. She wants to know about every detail of their lives. You know, when they come home from school or from an event, she'd ask questions like, you know, how many people were there? What were their names? Who did you sit next to? What happened? What did you talk about? And so on. You know, I'm not as good at asking questions. I couldn't think of half of those questions. But you know, I tried to learn from her, because that's such an excellent way to engage your children, you know, both boys and girls, especially during the teenage years.
Yeah, Andreas, maybe that's a way we complement each other in some ways and encourage one another. But I've also seen for Andreas, that he loves to talk with our son in different ways. He asks them and engages them about their games, their sports involvement, how do they handle themselves during the game in terms of this character, interacting with other teammates and opponents and the ref. Did the ref make a bad call? How did you deal with it? How did you respond? What did the coach say at halftime? Was it appropriate in terms of the encouragement, still submission to the coach and following the coach's leadership in appropriate ways? So he's seen, and I've seen him interact with our sons, particularly through sports. It's provided a wealth of teachable moments that can be seized upon as parents. So, of course, that presupposes that we are present in our children's lives, that we take the time to be at our children's games, at their important events in their lives, in their schooling, and other things. So just to reassert, Andreas loves to take time with her children, to be with them when he runs errands or even goes on ministry trips and spending time with them, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, next time we'll pick up with Chapter 5.